fighting for respect nationwide. What is going on, Sooner Nation? Thank you all for tuning in to another episode of the Barry and Max Show. As always, myself, Barry, personal trainer, sports performance coach out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and alongside me, former Sooner wide receiver, 2000 national champ, Mr. Damian Mackey. How are we doing this game day? D. Mack.
Wait and see. I saw some good stuff tonight. Saw some bad stuff tonight. A few ugly things that we'll discuss as well. It's good to start the or end the month of August with a W. It's good to get back on the side of seeing an offense that isn't, I don't know, a cancer patient. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, some good things to look forward to, some things I need to improve. I think there's some identity things that they need to get clear in terms of who they are going to be this season. I think personnel will dictate that. We got the dub. Illinois State played hard. Running back, their running back was nice. We'll talk about the pup and how Blaylock played tonight. He played well, Mateer and things of that nature. But hey, man, game one. Let's get to it. Salute to us for being this fast. I think this is the fastest we've ever done a post-game pod. So,
yep.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah, we're on it, man. So you guys hit the shares right now. Hit the like button. As always, this show brought to you by OU Insider, OUinsider.com. Go over there. Get yourself a membership. And DMAC, OU started off this one a little bit slow. There were some things that reared their ugly head offensively, a few things defensively. And as always, for our new listeners, we will get into both sides of the ball. Had good fortune to be able to watch the entire game pretty closely. And then I will obviously go back, rewatch certain key positions. We'll do a film breakdown over on the member page and dive into some of the nuts and bolts. But the lead story, and me and you were texting during the game just a bit, the lead story is John Mateer. And to me, I think Oklahoma has found themselves, at least for this year, a guy who they can feel confident going into these games in the SEC against ranked opponents and not being outclassed and outmatched at the most important position on the field. Last season, rarely did OU go into that game with the best player at the signal caller position, at the guy who made the plays. And I want to get your thoughts here in a second, but just to highlight a couple things that I saw, and these were things I brought up to you. Catchable balls that receivers were able to make a move, make a shake. And we talked about this a year ago when everybody, and we said it would happen. I don't want to say we predicted it, but that we said that the style and ability of the quarterback will change what the receivers look like. And now you got a guy like Deion Burks who looks like a legitimate wide receiver who can play on Sunday. Keontez Lewis ended up having himself a game. Satan, you got in the mix, looks good on punt returns. He's going to end up taking one to the house. Just very natural, very fluid catching the ball, and I loved seeing that. And then you saw some passes to the tight end. You saw Jaron Kanick. He did have the fumble, and that was rough. And I know Sooner Nation was ready to rip his head off. But he looked like an athlete with the ball. At linebacker, he's a liability. That's what I said on X. At tight end, he is a plus. So just your initial impressions of John Mateer. Game one, he ends up passing for more yards in the first half than Jackson did at any point all last season. And that was against Maine, Temple, Tulane, all of the rum-dums that they played last year never surpassed 225 yards. So, thoughts on Mateer?
This is a quarterback-centric game anymore. you've got a quarterback, they're worth two games. The exact same team we had last year is two games better simply by having material last season. And so I think he in himself is going to be a huge plus to us. I'm grateful we have him. He throws darts. I will say this. He's a little more running quarterback, athletic quarterback, than he is dynamic runner. And I don't mean that. And I guess you could say, check me out, that's like Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes. That's Joe Burrow. That's kind of what I like the fluidity. So there were moments in the pocket, and once you get back to your point, there were moments pocket where the fluidity of his feet were there. But you're right. Maybe a Patrick Mahomes might be a better comp, but Joe has fluidity of his feet, really good pocket awareness, and I think Mateer has that. I don't think he's going to break it off for 50 like a Hawkins will.
I don't know that it's impossible. My point is that he's not a running player who happens to know how to throw the ball. He's a quarterback who is a solid athlete, good athlete, mm-hmm. I'd say. And so I didn't really know what to – I'd say he's kind of like akin to Arch Manning. Arch Manning, if you watch the Ohio State game – poor Texas. If you watch the game, Mateer just happens to also be able to throw the ball. But Arch Manning's not a running back by any stretch of the imagination – even if the world tries to tell us he is, he's not. But he's a solid runner, right? If Mateer gets a head of steam, he can shake. You saw him make a couple wiggle moves, you know, to make some things happen. My point is simply that he's not like another running back at quarterback. He's a quarterback who can throw, who's also athletic, which as far as I'm concerned, and we'll talk about this a little further down the road, I am extremely happy to have. And since I brought it up, I'll say this, guy. I don't understand for the life of me why any coach in America would prefer to have a pocket quarterback versus a dual threat quarterback in any level anymore. Did you happen to see Florida State versus Bama?
Buddy.
The difference is the game is the quarterback who was the guy at BC last year. Bama couldn't corral him. Because they couldn't corral him, they couldn't stay on top of other things. But back to our game. Mateer played well. Phenomenal throw of the ball. He throws a very catchable ball. He's really good at anticipating, which creates yards after the catch. Even on his interception, I've never seen a curl route run as the way Burks did. When you're playing man, you come back to the ball. Mateer threw it exactly where it needed to go. If you watch replay, if you watch the replay, Burks comes in like a button hook, which he should never do against man coverage. If it's zone, you find the window. But if it's man, you come back to the ball. That's a really good throw on that pass route. I think his first game, A-. But, guys, 392 yards, four total touchdowns. Three in the air, 2-9, 1-4, and I don't want to hear anybody else talking about Kanick at tight end. He's going to make mistakes. By the way, he got his ass kicked a few times blocking on the edge. He got cross-faced two or three times, and he threw a chicken wing one time. He was doing a wham block where he had to come across the formation, and he threw a chicken wing versus getting wide and setting his base. But he's a mismatch. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's a mismatch. You line in 12 personnel and defenses have to stay in base coverage. And a Sam Becker has to carry his ass up the seam, carry his ass up the alley, carry him on a corner out, carry him on action to the corner. He is going to whoop head. And so I like seeing him as an auxiliary piece. Should he be our every down tight end? Hell no, because he's going to get beat pretty handily sometimes as an inline blocker. He did tonight versus Illinois State.
Yeah. So a few other guys too, man.
Oh, brother. We do O-line.
We'll talk about it.
Anyway, Mateer's a guy. I think he makes me feel more comfortable with knowing we're going to have a winning record, assuming he stays healthy. He makes me feel comfortable knowing when the play is there, more often than not, he'll hit the strike. And so those are what you want from your quarterback.
Yeah, I loved it. Just on the play to Keontez Lewis, and then I want to dive a little deeper into the numbers, the statistics for the year. The back shoulder to Keontez Lewis, very reminiscent of how Bake used to just let the playmaker make a play, right? Keontez Lewis is a bigger-bodied receiver who can go up and just get the ball All you have to do is not mess it up. Put him in a situation where he is able to use his skill set, his height, his wingspan, his body as an advantage. And then on the other piece, not missing guys when they're wide open. And when they're wide open, D-Mac, this is one of the things Heupel was great at. Of course, Jason White, who might have been maybe Sam Bradford too, but two of the best passers to come through Norman. But when guys are wide open, you don't want to miss them, right? I think that's obvious. But the other thing you don't want to do is make them have to come back for the ball or make them lose their footing. It is kind of akin to I've heard like Jason Williams, White Chocolate in the NBA, talk about when he would make a pass when he played for Sacramento, and he knew where his players, his shooters liked the ball, and you could either cause a guy to make or miss a shot based on where your pass is, based on where the laces are on the basketball when they catch it. And it's the same in football. If you've got a guy like Deion Burks running wide open on a dig, or you got a guy running across for a bang eight, like you want to put that ball in a spot that gives them the advantage. And when they're wide open, don't make them stop running. Yep. And the two touchdowns he threw where the ball was caught inside the 10 on both of them, and the receiver was able to round out that acceleration to the end zone on both of those were on Mateer. Because if those are just put 100%. Right on the numbers, they don't score. 100%. And then now you're snapping the ball again at the goal line, and you're risking turnovers, you're risking injury, everything. When you got the chance, man, just score and put it in the end zone. Anything at receiver before we get to O-line and running back, which I think the fans are going to want to hear thoughts there. But anything at receiver, anybody who surprised you, Keontez Lewis looks like a guy who's going to make some competitive catches down the stretch. And I think Satania, as the weeks go by, will be more a part of the game plan because he has almost some throwback. You said he might be a throwback a little bit, but kind of some Stoops era, just nasty to his game, but also acceleration and playmaking ability. So talk about it. Who impressed you?
Yeah, I mean, I think first things first, we just got to say a really good quarterback makes a good receiver look great. And that is, I don't want to discount our guys. Again, it's us, right? I will never say that our receiver core was the best receiver core we had. We had some dogs and we were smart and we caught the damn football, but Josh Heupel put the ball on us. Josh Heupel gave us the opportunity. By the way, as young kids, I didn't get to play as a junior and a senior. I played two games my junior season and I didn't play my senior year. And that would have been J-Dub, which me and J-Dub has killer chemistry. But the point is, Mateer is going to make a good receiver. If you're competent and you are unafraid, you're going to catch the ball. Keontez Lewis catches an eight route. It's an eight combo. It's a levels concept where you take the flat defender out of the play, you take the deep defender out of the play, and then you find the window. The one where he catches the ball and just falls down. If he catches that ball week four, week five, week six, where he's like, I belong, he's going to catch that ball and run. The announcer said he may have bumped his head on the scoreboard, the goalpost. I believe he may have, or 30, 40, 50 yards. But you could tell week one, he's a little apprehensive. He wants to make the play. I think it was a third down. In fact, I think it's a third and four, third and six. And I think tonight he gave himself confidence. Now, Michigan's a totally different task, but kudos to him for that. Burks looked good. One-handed catch on the sidelines. Awesome. Mm-hmm. He runs the backside post, catches in stride, high steps into the end zone. Awesome. Satania's a guy who, let me tell you, it's interesting because, and most people won't, I don't know if you guys will agree with me or not, but Kanick takes away a little bit of Satania's zest because Kanick's a guy who they're going to want to get up the seam. They're going to want to get Kanick on backers. Fact. And because Kanick is in the game, they're definitely going to say, okay, the best guy is going to go against Satania. The second best guy is going to go against Kanick, which means Kanick is the matchup, which means the OC is going to see that, which means he's going to call the double moves, the curl and goes, the sit and goes to Kanick because he's going to have the least athletic guys. That makes sense. You put double slots in and one's a tight end and one's an H type, right? The defense is going to say, hey, let's take the better cover guy and put him on the Satania type. Hey, backer type, right? Go cover Kanick. And Kanick's a 4-4 guy, 10-300 guy. And so I think that's going to give Kanick a lot of opportunities. And we'll talk about some of the things he did. He looked real awkward his first catch. By the way, my first play of the game is a Canuck fumble. I thought the game started at 3:20. Don't ask why. I'm in the gym. And I see everybody texting, we suck. Oh, my God, we're ass, whatever. And I'm like, and my first play is Canuck. And I'm like, man, that's a great throw. And he looked good, but he was kind of awkward with it, and he fumbles. Canuck's going to be a player. I'm way more excited about him, where he is this year. You know, Canuck was my Barnes on defense. You know that. Those two guys, for the last three seasons, I have been pretty unapologetic about that interlocked OU and those guys seeing so many snaps being a detriment to the offense and defense, respectively. I think Canuck has an opportunity to correct that. We'll talk about Barnes here in a minute. We ain't got nothing nice to say. Don't say nothing nice at all.
and let's get to that. But first, to highlight some of the good. You know, with Canuck, one of the things that I liked was he seemed to get more confident as the game went on. He caught balls very confidently. Yep. And for those who don't remember, this is back in the old days when we were doing some other stuff in different places when Canuck came on. I said if he was on the offensive side of the ball, he might be a plus. And this is right out of high school, that there might be some ways if OU didn't have, you know, a fullback type guy, a guy who, you know, could be a little flexible at the tight end spot, a guy who can get downhill making some blocks. And there's going to be blocking plays. There's going to be some 12 personnel where he has mismatches and can win those pretty easily. Now he will get thrown around every now and again. But to me, I loved watching him again going in a straight line. I really thought he had some wiggle. I thought he could put a foot in the ground.
Who's
and
that?
Get Canuck? North of the Canuck.
Natural runner with the ball.
Yeah. I thought he could put a foot in the ground and get upfield. One of my favorite throws, I don't mean to circle back, but I believe it was to 86. It towards the end of the game, going right to left. And, man, D-Mac, you talk about anticipatory throw. And this told me everything about Mateer, about the offense, about how in sync they are. Even game one. And I want to talk about the yardage. But ball was out before the receiver turned around. And there were multiple plays like that.
The interception.
Same bit.
An anticipation throw, Birch just button hooks versus come back to the ball. If he comes straight back to the ball, it's a catch.
So, at the end of the day, OU ends up with 500 yards or just under. Feels like it could have been more, but it was easy the way they got it. And it didn't feel like it was a struggle bus 400 like a year ago. It felt like the yards were much easier to come by, much more explosive plays. I want to say they might have had more explosive plays in this first game than they did all of non-con last year. I'm going to go and check that and by plays over 20 yards. But I think they might have had more in this game. Keontez Lewis ends up with 9 catches, 119 yards. But to me, we called it, D-Mac, on the first pregame show of the season. We said those who are high on Barnes saw him in the starting spot. We just had reservations, man, like we have had every single year. And when I went into this year, I heard people say Barnes is healthy. He's ready to go. Hasn't been healthy like this since his freshman year. So I looked. His freshman year, he was his most explosive. He has progressively lost that season by season. And I want to get your thoughts first on this, but running back position, especially early in the game, and then talk a little O-line as you get into it as well.
Hope I don't sound like an a-hole. So let me say this, guys. We're talking college football where players are being paid six figures at a university like Oklahoma that is a blue blood where guys come to OU to play for championships. Every carry you give to Barnes for the rest of the year is a carry that one of the other guys is losing experience. And I just honestly feel this way. And man, maybe OU never asked me to come up to speak to the guys because some of them take it personal, but I believe you need to tell the truth. He's not as talented as his counterparts. There are plays in that game where, let me digress. Everybody who's listening live, when you get home, if you had a chance to to tape the game. Very easy play to find. Go find the fourth and one. By the way, I don't think he touches the field again after the fourth and one. I think after the fourth and one is his last play. But, yep. But let me set the stage for everybody. Fourth and one, we run an inside zone concept. O-line is man on, man off, man on, man on. If you're man on, stay head across. If you're man off, climb to the next level, right? Double team on the nose, you know, so on and so forth. At the hike of the ball, when he gets it, there's no clear hole. All right, so it's not like he just missed a hole. There's no clear hole. But if he presses play side and just keeps his wits, there's a wide open hole to the left. And by the way, the actual game camera, when they show the second angle, they show behind. They literally show. You can, like anyone who is, now that I've said it, goes back and looks for it, you'll see. So when you watch the wide angle, you'll see the backers come play side, which means there's no backers backside. It's fourth and one. Everybody's 100% going forward, right? So then when you see the behind angle, you know if he hits that, it's him and the safety or him and nobody. And he presses the hole. There isn't a real hole there. And then he just runs into the butt pad of the right guard. And I believe, this is what I believe. I believe coaches saw number one in the box. Number two saw a replay. And it says, son, sit your ass on the bench. And because you can't, like the fans say, the O-line sucks. We suck. Everyone sucks. But in reality, the running back has to run the daylight. You know what I'm saying? Like that's an actual very important aspect of the play being successful. Hence why as soon as the puppy comes in, all of a sudden the O-line doesn't look terrible running the ball anymore. They didn't look great. And I'm going to get to them in a second. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden they look better. The O-line didn't get better, guys. A running back who pressed the hole correctly, set up his blocks correctly, accelerated correctly, ran to daylight, it makes the job easier for everyone. In the same way, Mateer, the offensive line, says, hey, if I block for 2 seconds, he's going to put the ball in the dot, and we're going to score. The way Jackson Arnold, if you held for 4 seconds, he might still throw it to the Tennessee guy with no pressure. There's no pressure. You just throw it directly to the Tennessee guy, right? Same thing applies in the run game. When the running back finds daylight, finds the crease, or runs through trash, breaks a tackle, shakes someone in the hole, the O-line gets momentum. And so when I say this, I'm not trying to be mean. And again, I won't say anything that is over and beyond the expectations that were of me when I was at OU. When I didn't play the best, I understood why I didn't play as much as I did when I was balling. And for this young man to be in his fourth year in the program, we said this before, Barnes is who he is. He's had 100 carries. We've seen what he can do. His best games against Maine, when they basically forced 200 yards. And I'm happy he had the game. It was really cool to see. But we're trying to win in the SEC. And we got to get the guy where, again, when you get home, just go watch the play. So I was really upset with DeMarco because I'm like, you keep forcing him down our throats. And everyone now is talking about it, right? It's kind of like a detriment to the kid. I think everyone would support him if he was a second guy off the bench. And we had two guys going, and he came in periodically to help, you know, to keep people fresh.
Absolutely, man.
Six, seven reps a game. But you're in the first two possessions of the game, and he's the guy we as fans have to watch run, can't break a tackle. I don't want to sound bad, but he's just not making as many plays. We start him against Michigan, and there's a play that we can have huge success, and he gets us 6 yards instead of 60, right? You're going to have the O-line to blame. You're going to have the quarterback to blame. You're going to have the OC to blame. And I'll say this, too, because I think this is pertinent, too, before I jump to the O-line. I think Arbuckle is a little bit different. Did you notice Mateer played the entire game? Did you notice the starting receivers played the entire game? I think Arbuckle is a little different in how he does substitutions. It says, nah, I want guys to play longer. Did you notice the starting 7 O-linemen that pretty much started the game were still in the game?
100%.
I think Arbuckle is sending a message. Number one, saying if you're a 2, you're a 2.
That's a little old school.
Yeah. If you're a 2, you're a 2. And then I think he's also saying, ones, you guys are not kicking ass. You don't get to sit up on the bench. Bob used to call, Coach Stoops used to call it Club Med. This ain't Coach Mangino. This ain't Club Mad Men. Get off the bench, right? I think Arbuckle has a little bit of that. Nah, go be a dog. And so I'll let you interject here for a sec before I get to the O line.
Yeah.
But the running back position, Blaylock looks like a stud SEC running back as a true freshman. We're playing in Illinois State. We got to see him do it against the big boys. But the way he ran, the aggression, the acceleration, the running to daylight looked good. I think X Rob was trying to knock off the dust. He also, the concepts they were giving him were more weight for the hole and then hit it versus Blaylock was kind of giving some dives and some quick hitter concepts where he could just use his natural instincts. But X Rob still broke some tackles and you know what I'm saying? We can see that he's going to make some stuff happen. Barnes was just far and away the third best back every time he was out there. Oh, I got two carries or one. He got a catch
and then he got a carry. The O-line was just a disaster on the first carry. They had middle penetration. Oh, he had no cross, shot.
Howland's face. It's Howland, 71. Dean crosses his face, blows up the play, has no chance.
Which, yeah, we'll talk about Howland. There was a few guys when we get to the O-line, and guys, drop your questions in the chat, but some guys looked pretty good, you know, in spots where you're like, okay, if you get a Fasusi out there, if a Simmons can get lucky enough to get back on the field, if you're playing with Everett, there are some things you can do. I know at one point in the game, I believe they moved Nwewu to left guard, if I'm not mistaken. And then they moved Howland was over at right tackle towards the end of the game. Yeah, and then they had Sexton, I believe, was at left. And then they also interchanged a handful of other guys. Mike Kula at center got a lot of run. But I want to go back and talk about Blaylock. I think X-Rob injury stuff is a factor. And sometimes when you're a big body like that and you're not a genetic freak like a Pirine, conditioning when you're off of football can be challenging. The conditioning can be tough to, like, get back, get your feet underneath you, you know, still be at a heavy enough weight to play your style of game, but also be in shape. But the play at the goal line, D-Mac, is a microcosm. The one where Blaylock scores the touchdown, and he just as you said, presses the hole. He not once puts his head down and assumes the tackle. So often, Barnes will assume the tackle. And another piece, just from a speed standpoint, guys, when you're talking about running back at the University of Oklahoma, yes, pressing the hole is something you have to learn when you get to the college game on how to do it at that level, reading your blocks, knowing the assignment. But there's some things that at Oklahoma, if you're playing running back and you're not a scout team guy, and especially if it's Illinois State and not LSU.
Hella syllables.
If
your name has hella syllables, you suck.
If you are not able to have that, the what I call easy speed, right? When Kyler used to get to the corner on teams, and Kyler's the major example, but it was easy. The corner, to get to the corner and beat a guy to the edge, unless it is a cornerback who has an angle, a running back at Oklahoma should almost always be able to win that battle. 9 out of 10 times, you should be able to get to the edge. And that opening drive when Barnes got hit behind the line, I know people talk about the offensive line and again, the penetration and guys getting back there, but he should have been able to get outside of that guy. And it's not so much the speed, D-Mac. He is having to run so hard and expend so much energy. If you notice, he's the only back there that when he's trying to get up to speed, just looks like he's trying really, really hard. And the injury and the stuff he's faced could have been what did that to him. I think it is possible that over these last few years, he has just accumulated so many times where he's sat out, he's dealt with this, he's dealt with that, and he's lost that fluidity as a freshman. But at the end of the day,
I don't think so.
He doesn't have it. He doesn't have the juice to play in the SEC. Maybe in the Big 12, he could get some run and get more carries, but you're right. He shouldn't get more than probably 5 carries a game in SEC play this season.
It'll be a detriment to the team if he does. I don't think, man, listen, I had an ACL before I got to college. I dislocated my finger. I pulled my hamstring in college. You're young, man. You bounce back. They have the best medicine in the world. By the way, if he was having degenerative issues, or I don't know if I said that word correctly, but if he was having long-term issues, you know what I'm saying? They would do something, or they would retire him, or they would, you know, you're not going to put the pressure of being the starter on the dude who's had long-term issues. No, he is who he is. Here's what happens. The ones don't get a lot of tackle to the ground football. So when you're not tackling to the ground and guys go by and fan you and say, that would have been a tackle, and running back's like, no, I would have broke it. That's how we used to do it in practice. That's a guy who in practice, he looks good because you're very rarely tackling to the ground. When you get in the game, all those fans that, you know, they go by and they kind of swipe their hands at you, those are tackles when it's him. But other running backs, they're able to break them. I don't want to spend too much time on the kid. He's a two. He's a solid two. He's a program guy. Put him on hella specials. Let him be an up back on punt team. He's a guy that I'd bet be willing to put his body on the line. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I think there's a place for Javonte Barnes on the team. He's just not good enough. He's not good enough to be a Big 12 starting running back. Big 12? No, he's not. SEC, absolutely freaking not. Not to hate. It is what it is. If there was a day where I wasn't good enough, I would have been like, damn, you know what I'm saying? This is hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, if the game is hard, like, damn, it's hard for me now. And I would have to live with that, especially as guys get paid. So, 100%. Dude, whatever that money is, give him his collie. You know, I don't know if $20,000, $50,000 is enough, but we need to redistribute those funds elsewhere to guys who can make more of an impact.
Yeah, and then I guess that does sort of lead us into the offensive line discussion, man. Let me give kind of my positive spin on this, if there is a positive spin, is not everything was all bad. You did see the O-line look better with different backs in the backfield. I thought in some of the pass pro, there were some breakdowns in pass pro. Felt like communication could probably be better. Some of the youth at different spots was a factor. But I thought in pass pro, they did okay. Again, the rewatch will tell a little bit more, but you got to get some guys back. EPL is a good player, but not having Ozeta or the ability to move EPL around, maybe put him at right guard, maybe, you know, switch spots with that. There's some different things that you can do, especially if Fasusi and Simmons are there. But Mike Hula at center felt like a drop off. Everett feels like a guy who they're just going to have all season. He's a guy who's going to have to play a ton of snaps, or you're going to get a lot of interior pressure. But on the positive note, I think there is some ground to be made up. I think Biedenbo can right the ship enough, especially with Mateer at quarterback. But I want to get your thoughts. Like, where does OU go now? Feels like this is, you know, same song and dance as we've had the past few years. What do they do to get the O-line play to an elite level, and can it even get there?
So I hope this isn't too high level, or I hope it doesn't sound too doom and gloom, or it might sound both, doom and gloom and crimson colored glasses. Our offensive line is not good enough to run at people when they know we're going to run the ball. And for the people who were upset, you have a lot of right to be upset. We didn't look good running the football today. Now, I will say twofold. Number one, a game like this is a game where you try to put your offensive line in positions to do things to see what they can do. So I do. If you notice, there were some stuff we did with Blaylock that worked that we didn't go back to. We didn't go back to the quick hitters. We were trying to run some pulling guys, some wham blocks. We're trying to run some counter stuff. And that was terrible. Every time we ran any type of guard or tackle pulling concept, they got cross-faced. Yeah. I don't know that I saw one time where we were able to get in front of the play and have lead blockers leading through the hole. Every single time, backside got cross-faced. Every time. By the way, shout out to Seth, man. I see you, bro, and you're making some good comments as well. So last year, this is what I want to make a very clear distinction between this year and last year. Last year, it looked like five dudes trying to figure it out, and every man's on an island. This year, game one, pass pro, Solid. Solid. By the way, you said, well, they played solid. Like, a solid B. Like, in pass pro, that could hold up.
Yeah.
And this is what matters. When we play Michigan, we won't, or I anticipate we won't, hope to God we won't. We won't find something that works and then go away from it to try other things just to see, like you will against Illinois State. If we find a mismatch where Canik is a guy who we know they're going to match up a bigger type guy, believe it or not, we're going to press that button. You know what I mean? So, like, in other words, we're not going to just say, let's try this and try this and try this. And we're going to be winning the game. We want to win the game. And so I believe two things are going to happen. I don't think our O-line is good enough to win in the SEC. But in 2025, if you have a really good scheme, I don't know that it is as important as it needs to be if you're not a Michigan-style team. See, what we also showed tonight is you better be able to cover us short. You better be able to cover us intermediate. You better be able to cover our zone beaters. You better be able to cover man beaters, and we'll throw the ball over the top and our quarterback can execute. The defense, especially the back seven, backers have to do both. They don't want to get beat deep. And if defensive coordinators know that we are a threat to beat you deep with one play, or we have receivers who can go get the ball, the catch nine makes in the end zone, his second touchdown is awesome. Catches the ball, lets his feet die so that he doesn't fall out the back of the end zone. He faints in the air so he can fall in the end zone. Beautiful play. Those are the type of plays, and Mateer striking literally the dot on the eye and some of that intermediate crossing stuff, makes defenses have to play more honest, which gives you the opportunity to run the ball. So if you were to ask me, can we run the ball like Baker's last team did? Hell no. By the way, we don't have those guys. Our offensive line is not extremely talented. They're not. Like, and for people to act like they are, that's not the truth, right? We missed out on guys we recruited. Development, we've got some pups who by later in the year could get better. I hope they do. But we don't have a line that can just line up and maul you. We don't have that line, Sooner Nation, Sooner Faithful, whatever you want to call it. But what we do have is a serviceable line and a scheme that says we can find areas of weakness. We can find areas where we can be dangerous, and we'll beat you passing the ball. And we have a quarterback who won't miss. Let me tell you what that sounds reminiscent of. You ready? That's our national championship team. It's our national championship team. We could not just line up and run the football on anybody, even with Quentin. We couldn't. You know why Quentin was a killer? Because we would quick game you to death. We'd screen you to death. We'd pump and go you to death. We'd dig route you to death, and then boom, cues up the A-gap. Boom, we're running a shuffle pass. Right. And so that's what I meant by at the very beginning when I said we have to find who our identity is, because if Arbuckle's not smart enough to understand, we can't just maul people with some of the Sooner fans. Hey, guys, that ain't our team this year. We're not that good. Like, we're not good enough to do that this season. Week one. That's not to say when guys come back healthy. That's not to say as guys matriculate and get more mature, that can't change. But right now, Michigan's looking at film, and I guarantee you that the DC, if he's a smart guy, he's going to say, hey, guys, watch out for quick game. Watch splits. Watch receiver splits. Watch quick sets. Watch pump and goes, right? Because they're going to show the ball, and they're going to try to get to the second and third level. I think he's going to say my 42, you know, my six-man front, four down, two backers, and my overhang kind of splitting the difference is enough to stop the run. We've got to be able to stop the pass. And when defenses have to do that, that's when you can run the ball. That's when you can run the ball. So that's the chess match, right? I looked at the game. People were like, we suck. Yeah, if we've got to run the football every down and they know we're running, we're not going to move a lot of guys. But we do have a scheme, and we have players and a quarterback who have to make defenses think. So I'm not ready to burn down the offense just yet. You know what I'm saying? I'm not ready to, tar and feather Coach Beatenbow. You know, I will say this. The talent is on him, or the lack thereof. That's on Coach. Coach, you got to own that. And in the SEC, that's going to be interesting to see how we manipulate what we have, the chess pieces we have, in order to get some of that done.
Yeah, I see a lot of people making comments, and I saw stuff during the game about just being totally out on this team and some of the things. The score in this one, if there weren't some costly penalties, which you got to fix, right? I believe on one of the there was a big run called back for a hold. Satania had the punt return all the way down inside the 20. That would have been another 7 that was called back due to a block in the back. If those plays aren't there, you're talking easily 49-3. And then I think the fans feel a little different because they didn't go out there and put up 60. I think there is some caution with how they're looking at this team. I'm still confident that this team has the potential, especially on the defensive side of the ball, to win 9-10 games. I think 10 games is entirely doable. At the end of the day, the Illinois State ended up with what, 103? I want to say it was 151 total yards of offense. And that's what you said, D-Mac. Defense did not need to come out in this one and have it be 479, give up 17. There was some easy stuff there. That they do end up with some yards on the ground, 117 yards on the ground, but absolutely nothing through the air. And for those, I'm curious to go back and watch. Venable said it postgame that there were some errors that guys just don't normally make when it came to defending the run. Just assignment sound football. I'm very confident that based on what this team did a year ago against the run, against a lot of really good teams like an Alabama, like an Auburn, shoot, like a Tennessee who was able to run the football really well last year, OU is going to figure that piece out. I think it is, can the corners stay healthy? Can your DB secondary stay healthy? And I have something to say about a player who played in the back end who looked as impressive physically as he has looked since he's been in Norman. And we get there. He's a guy who's been there for a second, who starred in a lot of plays here tonight. But bird's eye view, D-Mac, we'll go defense on this one. What were your thoughts? Did they do enough? Was there too much bad where you're very cautious? Or did the team solidify, yes, this is going to be one of the best defenses in the SEC? And Illinois State does have some players. Again, a team that at the FCS level has dominated for quite a few years. But what are your thoughts?
My biggest concern right now is the defense. Sounds dumb, huh? Sounds really stupid. Maybe it is. Because we have an offense that we're going to have to manipulate things in order to do the things we aim to do, because we don't just have dudes that can line up and beat you. What we're supposed to have are dudes that can line up and beat you on defense. We should have been able in this game to just line up in our 42 or sometimes over in a 33. And with, I don't know if you saw it, and I'll dive into a little bit more in a little bit, but you know, Kendall played the true cheetah all aspects. Kendall was out with the slot receiver. He was in the box. He was all over the place. It was interesting. Yeah. I thought there would be more matchup where Powers would come in certain, you know, at 11 personnel, and then Kendall would be in 12.
Powers just played more late. Like, he just played more.
No, that's what I'm saying. Kendall played the cheetah in all aspects. And so I think that's really good. It bodes well for running. But anyway, one, they got more inside penetration on us in their run game in the A&B gap than we did. Two, they got more edge penetration than us in their RPO stuff. And their not so much counter stuff, but just kind of like outside scheme stuff. And I didn't see enough of our guys just whooping ass on their guys. In the same way, I don't expect our O-line to be able to do that because we don't have top shelf talent. I do expect our D-line to be able to do that. And I didn't see enough of defensive guys just having their way. So that gives me a little bit of caution because that is to be expected. Now, that's the front seven. The back seven, pass coverage. This might be the best pass cover. I mean, we have legitimately right now an SEC back seven.
100%. Which NFL guys at every spot.
Listen, you called it first, and you made me go back and look. Guillory, I'm going to go, but what was my hot take 2 weeks ago? How many people? We got 248 people on. Some of you guys probably don't know my hot take.
Eli.
My hot take is Eli's injured. Gullery comes in and plays well enough to where we put Eli at the real position where he's really the best player, because we don't have any weak links in the secondary, and that's like a nickel type. To me, if you go back and watch his film in high school and you watch his year one, Eli was a good ball player, not a phenomenal cover corner, right? Mm-hmm. And he was the best we had last year, but Guillory is Gentry stays healthy. Guillory needs to not give up his position or split max. Kid played well, and they picked on him. They tried to pick on him. Like, they literally went to him quite often early in the game. Anyway, all that being said, run game, I'm concerned. The DBs look good. I was afraid there'd be a bust. I was afraid we'd have our first year. I used to talk about the 5'10", 4'5'8" guy.
Yeah.
I forgot the kid's name. Number four. I went to Miami, transferred to Miami after that year. You know what I mean?
Jaden, what was his name?
Yeah, Jaden somebody. Yeah, that guy.
You guys put it in the chat.
5'10".
Went to Miami.
And every year, corner. I think Texas cooked his tail. Two different. I think Worthy's freshman year, he cooked him.
Worthy cooked lunch, him. Man.
Anyway, point is, DBs look like guys who are long, who are rangy, who are physical, and they're in your hip pocket, right? So I like that. The safeties, they didn't really challenge us up the middle much. You know what I'm saying? So Payton and RSJ and Boggs, I saw Boggs in there quite a bit. I do want to speak to Powers, making that 13 look sweet. Powers looks nice in 13. And then last thing I want to say is Jaden Davis, that is his name. Last thing I want to say is KD, Kendall Daniels, respect. He played the true cheetah, and we'll watch that again next Saturday to see how well he plays, you know, against better competition. But I was very surprised, see how big he is, to see him play the true nickel, meaning outside the box, a true hole defender, meaning going up the seam, a true backside flow guy, meaning they run away and quarterback naked's back your way. You got to find the second level guy coming across. Like, he was able to do a lot. Roy. He was able to do what Roy was able to do well. And then if you run at me, I'll knock your ass out. Like, Kendall might be a guy. And then Powers, Barry, I watch. Powers is a foot. Is he a junior or a sophomore?
Powers is a redshirt sophomore.
I hope so, because there won't be a lot of drop-off if that guy's got two more years when some of these guys start graduating and are leaving. Powers is a program guy who can be – he's an RSJ type guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's an RSJ type guy. He's a guy you keep in a program 4 or 5 years later. He's an NFL dude because he's worked his way and etched his way to that. That the back four looked really good. Kip had a terrible third quarter. If you notice, Kip did. I don't know if you guys noticed, but did you notice Kip didn't play in the fourth?
Heinicke yep, 30, played. 38 did.
Heinicke played, and Heinicke made all his fits. Kip missed two fits. Yep. I for sure saw him miss two fits, and I saw him miss a tackle when he had the proper fit, and he missed the tackle. Very interesting. Samuel has bad eyes. I by the way, I'm just watching the game, and you can see it.
Almost canic, like a little bit.
Canic was slow to react. Samioda is not
you
slow
think
to
Sammy
react.
Sammy is just well. I would say that, but I think Sammy gets lost in the action. He gets lost
Sammy
in
the wrong way. Sammy went the wrong way two or three times.
Man,
and which if you know BB's defense is single gap assignment, that means if you're not in your gap, there's a hole. Right. And so as fans, see what's going on. It's one guy sometimes, guys. It's literally one player. If they go the wrong way, there's a hole wide open. If everybody goes the right way, you kick ass. And so when you see those type of gashes and then the safety has to come make the play, it's one guy going the wrong way. Kip had the wrong fit twice. He missed a tackle as well. And then Sammy had a couple of plays where he's just going the wrong way. He's going with the action versus following his keys. And that's why they were having some success. Heinicke played clean. Very, very clean. And then as always, McKenzie played really well going forward. I didn't really see him have a chance to play backwards and things of that nature. So, and then last but not least, D-line. They did get penetration, by the way. They just never consistently got it in a way where they forced the quarterback into fumbles to sacks. Shout out to Ween. Is it Ween or Wine? Taylor Ween?
I think it's Taylor Wine.
Yeah, I heard him say Wine, but I think it's Ween. I'm saying Ween. Taylor Ween. Shout out to him for making the play. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. Freaking Stone has a sack. He just misses. He has a TFL and he just misses.
He had some really good action in there when he was playing.
Yep. Jaden didn't play as dominant as I thought he would. There were a couple times he
was. Yeah, he had one play. Yeah.
Is it Wine? Okay. I'll call him Taylor Wine. I apologize. Here's what I think. It's game one, guys. Game one to game two, there's going to be a ton of adjustments. Coaches are going to catch things on film. I think guys like Barnes or Trench 2-point, you know, like there's certain guys who are like, okay, we gave you a chance. You're a two. And then there's certain guys who like, we got to play you more. And then there's in that game, you're trying to see how your people will handle adversity. Michigan, you can't afford that. You got to try to call your, you know, your best game and put your guys in a position to do the things they do well. So looking forward to see how that works out.
Man, I'm going to talk about two guys. Stole a little bit of the thunder with Daniels, but I think he is, and I said this in the other shows leading up, he's everything that they wanted Deson McCullough to be.
Who's that? Oh, Kendall?
Yeah, Kendall Daniels. They wanted McCullough to be able to come in at his size, at his length, and be able to put him into coverage. What happened? Cincinnati picked on him with like first conference game of the year. That teams knew from the film that he couldn't flip his hips. With Daniels, you have a legitimate 6'5 guy who is towering over players. I mean, he's as tall in the offensive line huddle. He doesn't look out of place. It's insane. He's taller than all the defensive linemen, save Adebare and maybe Taylor Wine. That is pretty much it. But he can flip his hips so well. Guillory, I was surprised at how physical he was and how well he tackled. He was very physical, almost reminiscent of when Gentry first played. It was great seeing Gentry out there. Yep. He didn't get a lot of action come his way. And, man, you know it. When you have two guys who can play corner like that, when Gentry was really good, you didn't have a shutdown on the other side. If you have two shutdown SEC corners that are 6'1 and can run, it really limits what you can do because now you're chasing the mismatches. You're trying to create opportunities for the offense through scheme, through certain matchups. And then it really impacts what you can do. And for me, if Guillory can be that guy, then I think that the defense does have a lot of potential. They rotated a lot of guys on the D-line, so I want to give them a little bit of grace. I'm curious to go back and watch the game and see specifically who made some of the errors. It felt like on some of the run plays, you're right, it may have been a Kip Lewis. The D-line may not have been necessarily out of position. It could have been a backer. It could have been a guy out on the edge. Who knows? But the player I do want to highlight who looked as explosive and really more explosive than he has looked his entire career at Oklahoma and stood out to me as very confident back there and almost what we expected him to be when he first got there, what we might have expected him to look like as a freshman because he was so ballyhooed. But guys, I'm talking about Peyton Bowen. Number 22 back there looked as explosive, getting downhill, coming out of his feet, getting out of his break, turning his hips, getting to the play, and actually making and finishing the play. He looks like he has gotten a lot stronger, but he looks like he's gotten faster, especially his acceleration. That was the noticeable thing about Powers when I saw him in the spring game 2 years ago. He was just so good at accelerating and getting out of his feet, similar to an RSJ. But Bowen, D-Mac, I think this is a season, this is the year where a lot of people were down on him a year ago, and he has indeed struggled to stay healthy, but I think with what he has done physically, being in the lab a little bit, changing his body, and of course we've always known that the athleticism, or at least the potential is there, I think he has a bright future. Danny Okoye might be the best looking athlete to not get anything on the stat sheet, man. That was, if you all want to go back and have some fun, just watch 16 move every play. He still looks a little raw to me. When it comes to what he's doing at the line of scrimmage, when it comes to trying to get home, he's still, It does not quite have the foot in the ground bend, the ability to just do what needs to get done to get home and make the play. RMT had a few big plays, but it didn't feel like he played a whole bunch in this one, DMAC. I do think that OU rotated a lot of players along that defensive line, which bodes well going into the SEC. You're going to want depth. You're going to want guys who can make a lot of plays. And I think the team is in a good position going into next week. And we'll talk about the Michigan game, you know, as we go forward and proceed into this week. Special teams look like.
Whoa. We got to talk a little bit more deep, bro.
Go for it.
We got to test the deal a little bit more than that.
Go for it. Well, what are your thoughts?
RMT played a lot. 32 played a lot.
Yeah.
They rotated, okay. For sure.
They did.
They rotated.
For sure. I'm curious to see snap counts. It's not been released yet.
EJ
really
played quite a bit, and he looks raw as hell. 34 EJ was out there looking high-hipped.
Yes.
Looks high-hipped. Like, bro, them hips is too high, man.
You know,
the mid-80s and late 90s had them big old hip pads hanging out the side. Like, he looked like he was rocking one of them uniforms. Like, come on, dog. We gotta get it together.
You're coming out of high school, that was always going to be his issue. Yep.
Yeah. Jaden, pass protection and pass rush, he sat the center in the quarterback's lap a few times.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really needs to be said. Oh, you brought up Peyton. Listen, I don't think there's anything negative to say about Peyton except to say all those guys look good. Mm-hmm. All of them look good. Peyton, I don't want to even say especially. I think Guillory was the especially for this game just because he's a true freshman.
Yeah.
Peyton played with confidence, not surprised. RSJ played with confidence, not surprised. Powers played well. He's your guy and he rocks 13, right? I'm always who's rocking 13? I like it when it's not a kicker or a punter. I like when 13's an actual player, so that made me happy. So I'm going to be a huge Powers guy now because he wears my number.
Let's go. Shout out, Reg.
Yeah. The guy who wore before me was T. White. I think there's something to be said about Gentry as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think we have to make sure we hit home on the point that as a unit, we are supposed to have the best front seven in the SEC. And I'm watching the Michigan, New Mexico State, whoever the hell they're playing right now. By the way, Michigan's only up 10. Somebody said FBS versus FCS. So what? There's some FCS teams that have kicked some FBS team ass. That don't mean nothing.
Yeah.
They gave up 17 at home. So for all of our fans talking smack about three on an interception that really could have not been an interception, you want to give the kid credit for making the play, right? New Mexico State ain't got no business scoring 17 points on Michigan at home. They don't got no business scoring that many points. So I think that's a game where we understand if we play our best, we had a good chance to win. Or at least that's what I would be thinking if I'm a Sooner. But our defense, and I'm watching their defense, although they've given up 17 points, they're kicking New Mexico State's ass. They're on their quarterback, and we hurt Illinois State's quarterback. A good play by Wine, in fact.
Yeah,
Taylor Wine who did it. I just think, and BV said it, there are guys who made stuff or errors that they typically wouldn't make. You make those errors against Michigan, they could take it 50, 60, 70. Defense is who we're going to hang our hat on. During the telecast, you heard BV said, I think I'm a pretty good D coordinator. I think I'm one of the best in America. That $7.5 million that he's making this year, shout out to him for donating $1 million of his salary away. But that 7.5, we're going to need that 7.5 because Arbuckle showed with the pieces we have, he could put up some points and put on a show. Quarterback, receivers, obviously O-line and running back have to get improved. Tight ends too. BV next week, and I have confidence he will. But that D, you're talking about Jaden, you're talking about Stone, you're talking about RMT, you're talking about Wine, you're talking about
Grayson.
Kim, you're talking about Grayson, you're talking about a lot of dudes returning, and I didn't really see, like, ass kickers. Like, mm-hmm. They just beat their guy, and it just demolished the play. I saw Jaden push the center and the guard into the quarterback's lap. I saw RMT shorten the corner and make the quarterback stack up. We saw some stuff, but those guys have to play championship caliber.
Yeah.
Or the offense has to play better than we anticipated they might, right? And here's the beautiful thing. They might. If the O-line can hold up in pass pro, and if Arbuckle can keep us in plays that suit our personnel, we'll see. I'm not going to throw sunshine at you guys too much tonight, because I am a little upset with the O-line, and especially those guards. And nah, actually, it's really the tackles getting cross-faced a ton. The DNs were they were slanting. I mean, and they were just crossing their face right at the height of the ball, and they're blowing everything up in the backfield. We got to clean that up or figure out the plays to counter that kind of stuff, because Michigan's not going to do that. Michigan's going to run their gaps. Let me tell you what Michigan's going to do, Barry. They're going to run their gaps, and they're going to see if we can hold up enough, because if we can't, they don't have to put 7 in the box. They don't have to put 8 in the box. If that front four can give us pressure 4 on 5,
yeah,
and those yeah backers can kind of zone up on their way to the quarterback, it's going to be very, 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 very difficult to throw the ball, because they're going to have 7 guys with their eyes on the football, and it's going to be difficult. So we'll see.
You know, to kind of round out the offensive line point, and maybe to spin a little bit of sunshine on what, or more sunshine, if you will, on what Mateer was able to do, the thing that I think fans thought Mateer had, but I was pleasantly surprised, is the gift of that pocket presence, D-Mac, to know when that pressure is coming. So often that there was a play he made that is winning football, and that was, they were going right to left. He gets flushed outside the pocket. I want to say it was a tackle, that it was inside pressure, because it was quick. It was right up in his face. He gets flushed out, and he's able to have quick enough feet and enough pop. Again, not to compare, but very Baker-esque. Baker was not super fast in the open field. He wasn't going to break it off for 60, but he was very explosive short area, and then he had really, really, really good explosiveness to get out and move out of the way. And sometimes that's football. Is can you get out of the way? Does that trigger in your head go off soon enough for you to be able to make that move? And what he does, though, D-Mac, is he gets flushed out, feels the pressure, feels the guy grab him, and at the last second before that knee hits the ground, slings the ball, incomplete pass. They put themselves in a much more advantageous position for the following down. It might have been third down, but it was winning football. That was a experienced player making the plays that you expect experienced players to do. That's what we thought Jackson was going to be able to do a season ago after sitting out. That's the type of stuff that you expect that you don't really see Jackson doing quite yet, even at Auburn. That is the levels when you talk about some players are worth the 2 and 3, you know, whatever money that these guys are making, and some just are not. Mateer strikes me as a player who has the attributes to play winning football. And, you know, I don't know, and maybe if, you know, so somebody has difference of opinion, of course, but I don't know if the how do I want to say, is it, say this? The there was some stuff early on a year ago that receivers were doing and getting open that just was not being hit. But the receivers in this one just played with so much more confidence, as if they know that the ball is coming to them if they get out of their break and if they create separation. And it kind of leads me into this. I didn't have this question planned, but it felt like the separation the receivers got was better, but it felt like there was much more confidence being played with. Well, would that affect you if you were a receiver in how you run your route, or is that just sort of innate? You're going to do what you got to do. I know you really never played with a bad quarterback per se, but would it impact you if you knew that there was very little chance that that ball is coming your way? Would it change the way or level of intensity that you are running that route with?
Yes. 2000, we had Josh Heupel. 2001, we had Nate Hibble. Go watch the first half of the season. Nate Hibble was he wasn't Jackson Arnold, but he was scared to make a mistake. He was scared to throw the ball down the field. He threw a million checkdowns those first 4 games. I had two catches for 2 yards against North Carolina, the 2001 season opener. All of us, if you go look at our numbers, that crew, and then J-Dub comes in and everybody starts cooking. And I think Nate kind of sees like, okay, I got to throw the ball. And then J-Dub goes down, and then Nate comes back the second half of the year and he throws much better. Of course, by that time, I'm no longer playing. But yeah, makes a huge difference. I'm just the same way when Mateer's at Q, you're like, I can score. Nine's going to be like, I can score every game now. When I would score, I'd be like, I want to score again. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like I remember Louisville my freshman year, I scored a touchdown. I was like, I want to score another one. And I scored another one. So I think the quarterback and their ability to create plays, they say throw guys open, right? To be difference makers with their mind. That's a mind thing. And then, of course, the arm talent gets the ball there. Hell yeah. Absolutely. Mateer is going to be a guy who's going to, again, I said it earlier, I'll say it again. He's going to be worth two wins. I don't know which games those are going to be, but they're going to be two games because of decisions or the actions of him we're going to win. And I'm glad he's our quarterback because, again, there's very clear evidence of the opposite, right? Arch Manning left a lot to be desired to be desired today. There were plays for the taking and the making that he just flat missed. He missed them.
Yeah, well, wide open, no matter who you're playing, yeah, the play was available. He missed easy stuff.
He missed the plays. And then you think about Bama. I think Bama's going to go back to the athletic kid. I'm telling you, Bama has a kid that was behind Milroe last year that was just as good an athlete as him. I think even a little bigger. And I know they went with the Ty Simpson or whatever his name was. Yeah. He was opposite of an athletic quarterback who made the plays for Florida State. Ty Simpson didn't make the plays for Bama. I wouldn't be surprised if Moore comes in. I want to say somebody said that Jackson Arnold didn't have any turnovers. Yeah, he had an Oklahoma-esque backward pass fumble during that game against Baylor. He absolutely had one of his Jackson Arnold plays.
And that's just an awful – the way Jackson played that game, they ran him like a running back. They tried not to lose the football game. Comparing what Mateer did to Jackson, Jackson never looked like this at any point last year. And you touched on Arch, and I want to talk a little bit about the Texas-Ohio State game just for sake of what's going on around college football. But Arch, in almost the same vein of Jackson, he throws a ball that is just consistently slightly off target. You know, in the game tonight, one of the things that struck me was that when the ball – was slightly off target. It was maybe two or three throws, and then really two I can think of from Mateer. It was shocking because most of the time when that ball left his hand, it got to where it needed to be. He put it out in front of a receiver, or he put it on the numbers, or he put it up high where the guy was in a good position to come down with it. And when Jackson threw even completions a year ago, they were hard to catch. They looked like balls that were difficult to come down with. And as a receiver, that you kind of get tallied with the drop, right? They say, look at Wingo and look at the drops. But that there was Nate. A play to Wingo where he was wide open and
threw it behind him.
He had the ball, threw it behind him.
Yep.
I just think that, you know, that. Obviously, we'll pump the brakes on the sunshine with Mateer for now. The Michigan game is going to tell us everything that we need to know.
Yeah,
I think Michigan is going to be a true test. They obviously have athletes on that defense. We'll see about the offense and how Oklahoma measures up there. What we think, obviously, the rotation will be tightened up on the defensive front. You'll see RMT be turned loose. At linebacker, it'll be tightened up. I think Guillory and Gentry are going to be able to compete in that. But seeing the Ohio State-Texas game, D-Mac, you called the loss. And I think a lot of people did pick Ohio State. You know, Texas was a favorite for the season. The game felt like a pick 'em, but I don't know if it truly did. I thought in this one, playing in the shoe, Arch Manning is a guy who has yet to play big-time snaps against a team like Ohio State. It felt like a recipe for disaster. Anytime you have quarterbacks that are being broken in their new, a true first season like Jackson was a year ago, it's always tough when you're getting started, man.
Yeah, I'm looking at the comments. I went to school with Stanisha. By the way, she wanted her son to go to OU. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about Durham. How big a Durham fan was I? Like, I was like, what are we doing? Like, if we don't take – yeah, anyway, we're not going to talk about him. He does. He loves where he's at. The family loves where they're at. The Stanisha and co. and the rest of them, they're good. He's doing good. Salute to him. We took Tatum instead. And Anyway, that's that. Listen, I'm glad we have Mateer, and I'm glad they have Arch. Arch, somebody was asking me, Arch reminds me of Chris Sims. I remember that season and all the praise they were just heaping on Chris Sims because of their September, and they didn't play anybody prior to playing us. And yeah, we all know what happened the second Saturday in October 2000 season. We beat that ass 63-14, and it was 42-0 before you got your cup of beer. And so anyway, good first win. Here's what I like. And fans, I want all of us to really be conscientious of this. I promise you, game one jitters are legit, regardless of who you play. It's just new to put the game uniforms on again. It's new to it be 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock, whatever time we play. I think we played at 5 o'clock today. It's new where there's another team where there's a dude who you don't know him. That first game, there's some games you come out and really kick butt. But I think after last year's debacle is what I'll call it. I had a little grace for that first, I guess it was 5 minutes and I missed it. I didn't see the first 5 minutes of the game. That's why I say my number one concern moving forward is the defensive run ability. I want our run defense to be dominant. And on proverbial passing downs, I want to see the pocket collapse and guys beat guys, not through scheme, man v. man, beat guys. Our offensive line, I'll say it one last time, it is what it is. They are not 2017 OU, 2018 OU. They are not Georgia, Alabama, or Oregon, or Ohio State. They're not. They can be serviceable with an offensive scheme and game plan that really aligns to what they do well and really kind of stays away from the things they need to improve as they progress. The other good thing is EPL is a sophomore. Ozita is a sophomore. Fodge is a freshman. Howland's a sophomore. Fosassi is a freshman. You've got a good nucleus of guys who shouldn't have to play a ton of losing football. I know we got the hardest schedule in America, who will become juniors and sophomores next year. And that's going to be an offensive line that can really, really, really do some stuff. So I'm okay because I know our OC and our quarterback are going to be able to continue to put us in winning positions. The defense is more of my concern. I know you brought up special teams and we got to speak to Satania is, we have a threat. That's a big
legit
deal.
Legit threat.
Yeah.
Especially with Bowen. I think Bowen was solid, but injuries, even if he was good, you can't, with his injury history, keep putting him back there.
Yep, you can't. And I liked our kickoff guy. He had two or three that were returnable. He had another 50% of them that went through the end zone or they fair caught. So I think that's a plus. We didn't get to see what a field goal looked like. I didn't see any of the extra points. I wasn't paying attention.
It looked solid. They looked good. Everything was like right down the middle, very replicable. That they weren't all over the place, which is what you want to see with a kicker. Are they consistently through that same window of the field goal post, or is one like way over to the left, way over to the right? Is your trajectory and your setup, is all of that consistent? And if it is, then chances are you're going to be okay. Satania really impressed me. He is a guy who is confident, and talk about the difficulty of this DMAC, because I know you return punts a little bit. Talk about the difficulty of making that decision between fair catch and returning the kick. And he is a guy who is not afraid to take that chance in traffic. And he's so confident in his hands and his ability to catch the ball, which is the biggest part, right? Just first, are you a player who can secure the ball? You might be the greatest athlete on the planet, and there's guys with good hands who just cannot catch punts because of what it is, right? I'm sure you saw that a lot. But he's a guy who can catch it in traffic. And if you're able to do that and then get your eyes down quick enough, if you make a move then once guys have committed – that's how you take punts to the house. When the punt team has already committed to the lane, and then you can catch guys and out leverage them to the sideline. But talk about just that piece, the catching the punt, the securing it, and then the difficulty of how you navigate that.
Yeah, I came up under Jarrell Jackson, and JJ would always be like, D-Mac, don't fair catch. Like, JJ was like, we don't fair catch. I mean, if you have to, there's a guy in your face, or coach says fair catch, you fair catch. Otherwise, like, so, like, I was never forced to fair catch unless, you know, we got them all the way backed up and their kicker can only, or their punter can only punt 30, 40 yards. We were going to get it in plus territory. Coach, you know, there'd be times like coach be like, hey, fair catch. Or if it's fourth and three and we're in punt safe, hey, the guys are not blocking for you. They're in punt safe, fair catch, right? Other than that, I ain't fair catching. And so now I took 4 punts back my junior year in high school, 3 punts back my, I took 13 punts and kicks back in high school. Punts or kicks. I had a state record for some years. Somebody broke it like in the early 2000s or the late teens. But I like that we have a guy back there who's going to go do something with it. That's a play. Like, why would you waste a play if you have a chance to do something with it? And I think he showed he could. I know everyone's going to talk about the one that was called back, but did everybody see the one he catches on their sideline? It's off the bounce. He sticks his foot in the ground. He gets about 15 yards going up their sideline. Like, yep. That's a big deal. That's big field position. Deal. That
perfect.
You know,
that, do that all the deal. Time.
Man, yeah, man. Those are big plays, and I think he's a guy who's worth his weight in being a slot/return guy. I thought the special teams looked as good as they've looked. You know, Link, he just didn't give a damn about special teams. He just wanted to try to get the ball to the offense and not mess up. It looks good to now have a special teams unit that'll be willing to try to make a play on that respective play. So I liked it.
Yeah, even when they punted the ball, that they looked good. It didn't look like there were glaring issues. Real quick, across the country, I haven't checked in on the Clemson LSU score yet, but Florida State just woodshed Alabama. 10-10?
10-10. Okay. Michigan's now winning 34-17. New Mexico just got a first down, 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
So we'll see about that one. I think Michigan is going to be – regardless of what happens with this game, they have so much talent on that team. They're going to be motivated. Former OU guy coaching. You know that there's going to be so many cool storylines in this one. I can't wait for the pre-show. Maybe we'll get some guys on.
I think I'm going to town. I think I'm going to hang out with MC. MC's doing some promo. I might fly in.
Okay,
from Michigan
sweet.
Next week. Yeah.
It was okay, cool. I don't know if I'm going to try and get up to this one or not, but we'll see. But just – thoughts on Florida State and what they did today, man, against Alabama. That was a big deal. They put the world on notice. You said, and it was kind of a subtle comment, but you talked about that quarterback and what he did a season ago and just said, you know what, he can play a little bit, and then he goes out and looks really good. And when Florida State has a quarterback, man, they're a different kind of squad. So talk about that.
I believe it was BC versus Miami last year. And I want to say he got hurt like in the second quarter. I could be wrong, but they're playing against a much better team, but he's the difference. And then when he goes out of the game, it's a cakewalk. And so when I heard Florida State got him, everybody knows Florida State's going to have some athletes. New Mexico State just threw it to Michigan again. Quarterback got killed and he threw it to Michigan again. But salute to them. By the way, I am not an SEC guy. I am an OU alum. I'm not one of these. If anybody from the SEC team wins, we win. Hell no. Nah. All y'all mother suckers can lose. I don't give a damn. All y'all can lose. So, yeah, he made the difference. He was the difference maker in the game in the same way Matera is a difference maker in our game. And I think Florida State's going to be a player this year. He stays healthy. They're going to be good. They got guys who are – aggressive and they got playmakers. Did you see the guy who was a 44 quarter? He took the end around to the house. He was a 44 open 400 meters. Like, yeah, they got athletes, man. Florida State. Favorite team in the 90s. Crazy. Charlie Ward, Warwick Dunn, Marvin Jones, D. Brooks. Come on, man. Those guys were Peter Warwick. Those guys were killers back in the day.
Man, there is something about like Southern Louisiana and hot panhandle Florida. Or like just south of that panhandle.
Time out.
Go ahead.
Gonna do that. throw some damn respect to Cali.
We okay.
whoop Florida's ass. Every time we play Florida, we whoop that ass, belt to ass. So don't you do that and just be talking about there's something about South Louisiana and South Florida. They got it. But damn it, when they come to Cali, we've been smacking Florida and Texas since I was when they used to have the Florida, Texas, and the Florida Cali. We won every year, my years. Of course, I'm an old ass man. But put some respect on Cali, baby.
California's has some guys too.
I want to put some respect on Seth. Seth is throwing us some love. Super chat, bro. I see you.
Shout out, Seth. I want to get to Seth had a question, D-Mac. I do want to get to. Let me put it up there on the board because Seth, much appreciated, man. But let's see here. Where's the one I thought was really good? Right here.
Yeah, he had an O-line question.
We'll get to the O-line, but just this one, D-Mac. Any receiver, that has reminded you of yourself? I think we've had that one before, but just for people, we had a lot of new listeners this season. Just that, and then the best wide receiver, two of them. I'm going to ask you, best wide receiver you have seen at OU, period, but then the best wide receiver you saw in person when you were playing. Who was the best guy?
So, I'm biased. MC is my little bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, to this day, that's my little bro. And I know how much of a student of the game he is. And I saw him come in as a 5'9", 160-pound dude who transformed himself. He grew an inch and a half and left as a 185-pound, 4'3", 4'4", 1 dog. If MC got to play the style of football even Ryan Broyles got, the game changed. Yeah. Ryan Broyles is like 07, 08, 09.
It's a different game. 08 might have been his freshman year.
It's a different game. By the way, if I got to play in that game, like all my attributes are way more highlighted in how the game is played now. When I played, there were still aspects of the game where you got to do this. You got to, like, coach, what if I can beat him this way? No, you got to do, this shoulder. It was very archaic, right? Because you're just coming out of the option, power eye. Era of about
you're totally
8 to 9
right.
years earlier.
You're totally yeah. right.
But the best receiver at OU, I gotta give it to CD. I mean, CD was just amazing. You know what I'm saying? As biased as I am to MC, I saw CD play as well. And I saw both of them though. I saw MC dominate all Americans in high school. Excuse me, in college. But CD, man, I think CD's the best all around receiver we've had. We've had a lot of really, really good ones. I think DD gets left, even though he won the freaking Biletnikoff. I think people forget about D.D. Westbrook. I think people discount Broyles and what he was able to do, just his feel for the game. And such a tough and just phenomenal hands. There's a lot of guys at OU that I think, I would say probably the best receiver in R5 barely makes the top 10. Again, I'm a realist, right? Like, now I say this. Put me on any OU team that came after us, I'm playing. There's not one year after I can't speak for the rest of my counterparts because everybody has their strengths and weaknesses, but there is no season at OU that I'm not playing, period. I'm going to make every block, I'm going to catch the ball, and I'm going to do something with it, and I'm a team guy. And so I don't think anybody in R5 are even in the top 10. Kenny was a dog. Let's not forget about Sterling. Sterling was like, he's probably my second favorite. Sterling's probably my second.
Sterling
favorite.
Is underrated at this point now.
Underrated, but, man. Sterling was a dog.
He didn't never had great quarterback play except for his last year.
Yeah, exactly. He had Baker's last year.
His last year.
Best I ever seen. Corn Robinson played for NC State.
Okay.
He ended up playing for the Packers. He was amazing. 4'3", 6'3" and a half. We played against Florida State in the Natty. They played on that same field 7 days prior. Don't ask me how we always, Barry, we're on the field. No associations to OU. They were like, how the hell? I think we got tickets. The team got tickets to the game. So the team is in the stands. Me, wow. Roy, Jay Hunt, Ante, we're on the field and we've got the camcorders and everybody like, how the hell did you guys get on the field? We're like, man, this is just what we do. Then, Miami Heat play somebody. Oh, we had tickets to the game. we're sitting on the floor.
Oh my God.
Everybody's like, how the hell did you guys get on the floor? Hey, bro, don't mind your business. You know what I'm saying? Mind your business. Don't worry about what we do. Corn Robinson and Robert Ferguson. That A&M game 2000, go back and watch it. Robert Ferguson was absolutely amazing. Yeah, Florida State has some dudes. K-State, Quincy Morgan, and Bigger Lockett. Not Aaron Lockett, but I forgot the order. But that was a really good group, and I saw them live direct.
Tyler was later.
Aaron Lockett. It was Aaron Lockett. It was Aaron Lockett. That was a really good group.
Tulsa guys, man.
Should have been OU guys. By the way, all of them are hella cool with all the OU dudes, and they were like, hell nah. I'd say probably Corn Robinson and Robert Ferguson. Those two dudes, when I watched them, you know what it is? They were like kind of DN's body playing receiver. Like, they were just so much bigger than us. 6'3", 228, and just like looked like grown men, but had every bit of boom, boom, boom as the 5'11", 190 guys, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, those two guys.
Yeah, you touched on something interesting, and I don't want to like get into the minutia of drills and coaching and whatnot. You know, maybe next offseason we kind of dive into this a little bit, but the coaching of receiver has been a position that has changed a lot over the years. And for a long time, it was 3-step, 5-step, 7-step. Like, there were so many rules in how you ran your route, how much depth you got. And then over time, as offenses changed, Leach was a guy who started to change some of this with what he did, especially later in his tech years, even more. And then there were other guys who came in and pushed it forward where it became a little more free-flowing, where it was like, how do you get to space? There used to be rules of like what shoulder you turn over. And there's still some things that have held, right? You know, where you put the ball in your hand when you're running, what shoulder is best to turn over. But I think we figured out that like that just do the best thing that's the most efficient at that time, regardless of the rules. And
it's not that freelance.
What I mean by that is that the releases that receivers run now are way more, there's a lot more to them. Guys are way more creative with that, right? You didn't see a lot of these, you saw some, but there wasn't the crazy releases that you see now, or guys drilling releases in the same way as they do now.
I don't agree. I think social media exposes it. Andre will folks. By the way, I had crazy releases. Andre had like crazy releases. I see walked off the line of scrimmage to Roy one time, and we got it was on film, but there wasn't social media to show it. You know what I mean? And so no. Guys have been working releases for a while. Chad Johnson, go back and watch Chad's film. Chad could out-release anybody who's releasing right now. Yeah, so release, what it is exposure, and the game is about branding now. When I played, it was about OU. Like, everything was the brand, right? If OU wins, you win. And let me be honest with you guys. It was very good for me. You know, statute of limitations is up. Like, I got taken care of at OU. Like, I was good. Like, I still kind of felt – listen, we were good. We were taken care of. If you need a car, whatever you needed, you could get it. Let's just say that, right? And so, I don't think it's that much better. Here's the thing about receiver now. There's rules. There's man rules. There's zone rules, right? Mm-hmm. There's windows. There's sitting. And then there's pushing through. So the game used to be, like you said, 7 steps, look in, left-hand shoulder. Man concept, get inside. Like, now it's like beat your man, find the window. Here's the rule versus man, keep running. Here's a rule versus zone, settle or push to the next window. That part has changed dramatically, which was the shit I wanted to do. Right, the story I always tell, OU Texas, my freshman year, they're playing inside man, and I got to run a curl with trips.
No, that's right. That's good.
There's no room. Like, how can I run a curl? I was telling coach in practice, like, coach, how? Explain to me in trips how I'm going to run a curl when the DB's inside man and Curtis Fagan's 2 yards away. Like, there's no room. No, Mac, you got da 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 da. And sure enough, I get jammed. And sure enough, they get a pick. And sure enough, you know what I'm saying? I'm out a couple of possessions of the quarter, whatever it is. That wouldn't happen anymore. Now, inside man pushes outside, push to the corner. You dip underneath, push through whatever you need to do, and you can get to the ball. And that's the way we teach it now, too. So Yeah. Good win by the guys. A lot to critique. I think this is going to be a healthy film for the coaches. Thematically, if you were to ask me, defense, I want to see them be much better than run. Michigan just took 165 yards to the 1 yard line about 5 minutes ago. By the way, inside zone with a wham. All it is, everybody's blocking to the right. Wham block kicks out the backside. One of the backers is not in their gap. Kid hits the A gap. He's 65 yards down the field, right? So those are the things I want to see us clean up. And on the offensive side of the ball, I want to see if we can run the football.
The last question before we get out of here, D-Mac. Do you think a Fasusi and a Simmons elevate this? And obviously, we know what Ozeda. Do you think going into Michigan, even Fasusi being a freshman, do you think they elevate this team enough that you need to, you know, potentially risk injury with Simmons? You know, they won't play him if he's not there, but like if he's real close, do you end up playing him? And then Fasusi, what do you feel about Michigan being his first game that he comes out there at?
I don't love it. I think it hurts him the most. Mm-hmm. It's not a good game. It's not a good first game for him. I'm just letting you know, it's not a good first game for him. They've got four dudes that look like RMT and Okoye that know how to use their body and are not raw playing on the defensive end position. And I think, I don't know, right? He might just be Trent Williams. He might just be Orlando Brown or you know what I'm saying, Jamal Brown. Like, I don't know. And if he is, then yeah, he needs to play. But I would have preferred to let him get his feet wet like some of the guys did tonight. Yeah. I will say this, and I don't mean to be a jerk about it, but I don't think Howland's going to hold up.
I'm surprised. That is one of the players I'm going to dig into over for OU Insider and post some stuff on X. I am surprised at how behind he still is with his feet. And there were plays where they tried to move him, and he had to pull. He had to get out in space. And D-Mac, he got beat straight up. He got beat when he was moving. He's a long athlete. He's not a bad athlete. He's a guy who in drills, I bet running hurdles because he played tight end, looks pretty good. He's a guy who came to OU with a pretty clean body, and they've slowly put weight on him where he's, you know, well over 300 pounds now. He just has not dialed in the footwork, and he gets beat because of footwork. And leverage, right? But footwork is how you get to your leverage. And he just has not been able to do it. We'll have the preview show this week, guys. We'll also have another show in here. We're going to do three shows a week where we break down a little deeper some of the stuff that went on in the game, doing some things over on our member side. So make sure you sign up for the members feature, doing some stuff for recruiting over there as well, just some watch-alongs. And if you're not a member of OU Insider, go over there to OUinsider.com, get yourself a membership. Me and D-Mac have committed to it. Our post-game show, we're going to be one of the first there. So if you are leaving the game, watching the game at home, and you want some insight, in-depth analysis of everything that just went on and our immediate reaction, come over here to the Barry and Mac show. You'll also find the link over on the OU Insider message board being posted over there. But make sure to follow us on social. I put a lot of that in the description, but you'll find DMAC on X at D_MAC13. Find me at BWise Fitness. And then our Instagram is the Barry and Mac Show. And our TikTok, man, is blowing up. I didn't know that we needed TikTok, DMAC, but apparently we needed TikTok. And that thing has exploded even more so, way more so than the Instagram did when we first launched that. But the Instagram has picked up steam since this year. So we're trying to do some big stuff this year, guys. Fully committed to bringing you as much content as we are capable of in a given week, given our busy schedules. But we will bring the post-game shows to you. But, yeah, OU Insider, there's going to be some post-game interviews and other things over there. But D-Mac, as always, close us out tonight. Closing thoughts, game one in the books wrapped up. The Sooners get the win over Illinois State. They knocked the quarterback out the game. I mean – That's a I don't know if you say like feathering the cap on something like that, but you know that watching some of the defenses that you were on, it wasn't always bad when the starter, obviously you don't want catastrophic injury, but if the starter had to leave the game, it wasn't a total negative. So closing thoughts to get us out of here, man.
You cold-blooded. I'm watching Michigan right now. Underwood is going to give us some opportunities. If he doesn't have a clean kind of slate of what to see, he's going to hold the ball. Listen, week one, I think we underwhelmed a little bit. We scored 5 touchdowns. The defense only gave up 3 when we had a turnover on our side of the field. They got some plays. They have guys who are decent players. We knocked their quarterback out of the game. I think we had a sack or two, a couple of sacks. I think Samuel got credit for a sack on one of those plays where the quarterback kind of dove and he dove on top of him. So I think we got 2 sacks. We got to get better in a hurry because Michigan is going to be a totally different game. But Michigan is not dynamic. They're methodical. They're physical. They're sound. They're talented. But they're not, and I don't think their makeup is to be dynamic. If we can be dynamic on offense, and we can be disciplined on defense, I don't hate our chances. I don't care if New Mexico State's FBS versus FCS. New Mexico State has made some stuff happen. They've gotten some good yardage. However, Michigan's D-line was killing their O-line. And I think that's the difference between what I saw in our game versus what we're seeing in the Michigan game. Looking forward to next week. We'll see how things go. I appreciate you guys. We had over 260 people on the live. That's super dope. We promise to do our best to be first every time. Look out for 10 thoughts. I'll be dropping 10 thoughts tonight via the written form. I'll do it on OU Insider tonight. And then tomorrow, Barry, I'll either record it on here or I'll send you the video of it. It'll be about a 30 minute.
I'll probably get it done on here. We'll figure something out.
Appreciate you guys. Keep tapping in with us. 5,000 subs. I'm going to get some championship apparel. I'll get some of my teammates to sign and send to whoever. We'll do a raffle when we get to 5,000. I think we're at like 1,800 or whatever it is. Let's get to work. Let's spread the word. Let's share this thing. Like this thing. Let's get it out to people. We're going to be very consistent this season. And thank you guys. I really appreciate all of our fans. You guys, listen, you guys crack me up in the comment sections.
I like it.
So yeah. Anyway, good stuff to the team. We're 1-0. Let's fight to go be 2-0 next week.
Absolutely, man. And we'll be bringing you guys all the action. But as always, Sooner Nation, thank you all for tuning in. We will see you soon. And.